And no one ever cared for us like He cares for us. I tell you tonight, I don't know what you're feeling like. You may be feeling or wondering if someone cares about what you're going through. But one thing, you need not doubt tonight whether or not Jesus cares about what you're going through. Because He does. He certainly cares, and He is with us. And I hope you're encouraged that you got a friend like Jesus that will never let us down. He'll never let us down. He's true and faithful. He's good and just. And I'm thankful that I can call. That's another thing you will never find in these false religions. The very fact that not only do we call our Savior God, and He is, and He is Creator, but He is also friend. Our God is our friend. Amen. And you don't hear of other false religions talking about that. They may teach to be friendly, but they will not teach you that the very God of heaven, the Creator God, is also your friend. And Jesus is our friend. Praise God for that. Well, good to see everybody on this Wednesday night. And, of course, the stirring going on around right now is this good old Georgia cold weather. And how many of you like this cold weather? Just to see how many we got. Whoa, okay. This side is, it'd be hot natured. Yeah, hot natured side over here. No one raised their hand over here, so we got hot natured side of you. Didn't either? Okay, all right. Well, good. Well, I'm glad we got some folks in here. I think it's comfortable in here. Can we all agree there and say amen? Yes. All right. Thank the Lord for that. And rejoicing. It is a blessing to be together with y'all in this midweek service. And just rejoicing in God's goodness. Got some things we want to pray about tonight together. But we're going to get in the Bible here first. Why don't we open up with a word of prayer? Lord God Almighty, I am just overwhelmed right now with the thought of You being my friend. That is just truly awesome. And that You are the best friend that anyone could ever ask for. You are faithful, You are just, and You are perfectly loving, perfectly good. And Lord, I am grateful tonight that I know that I have You always. And I know that everyone here, if they believe the Bible, can say the same thing. And so, Lord, tonight I do pray that You would help us as we look at Your Word. I pray You'd encourage us and give us power to understand, but not only to understand, Father, help us to be burdened, to share and to live what we believe. And then, Father, we do pray for Your power in the prayer time, that You would help us to take that time very seriously. And, Lord, that we would look for You to do miraculous things in our lives and in this church. And so, again, we just thank You for all that have been able to come out tonight. Please bless those that, Father, are not feeling well for one reason or another that could not come out tonight. Please meet their needs even where they are. And so I do pray these things in the wonderful, marvelous name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight's question that we're going to talk about, objections to the gospel. Last week we talked about, is there a God? Does He really exist? How can we know? And we just talked about those things, had some good discussion. This week we're going to talk about, do we know that the Bible is really true? Do we know? And that is something that we need to be prepared for, because you know, and I know, we base everything we believe off the Bible. And so when someone whether they're sincere or not, but when someone poses that question or objects to the fact of the Christian faith, how can we know the Bible is true? Church, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. And so I'm going to mention a few things tonight, and maybe you'll think of some things as well that we can talk about and be encouraged about. But it's a great question. Do we know that the Bible is true? And what are some evidences that the Bible we read and teach today is actually the very words of God? Because see, opposed to some popular belief that people that don't quite understand what we believe and teach about the Bible, many you'll hear some people say, how is it possible that you have all these different ones who wrote these books in the Bible? And I understand what they're saying, but there's a misconception there. They need to first understand, no, the book only has one author. The Word of God only has one writer, and His name is God. God wrote the Bible. Now, He used men in their personalities and their hands as instruments to pen the Word of God, but God breathed on them the very words of God. And so we do believe that there was one writer of the whole Bible, the 66 books, the canon that we have, Old Testament, New Testament, was written by one. And His name is God. And He used 40 different men and personalities to pen the Word of God as instruments. But that's something we look at first. So again, this outline is adapted from Michael Baer's book, Great Doctrines for Today. One of the points he brought out in his book was the indestructibility of the Bible. That when someone poses that question, how do you know that the Bible is the Word of God? Well, let's just go through some practical evidences. Why do I believe this book is God's Word? Because of the indestructibility. The Word of God has stood the test for centuries. God has preserved His Word. Folks, I believe we all agree tonight, that's a miracle. That is supernatural. There is no explanation outside of the hand of God that these different letters in the New Testament and these different books written by God put together and have been preserved through the years. That is God Himself. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Forever, God's word. It's interesting. Diocletian, the Roman emperor, back in the times where there was great persecution upon the Christian faith, there in the early church ages, he claimed he would destroy the Bible in order. Why? In order to destroy the Christians. He said, "These are people of the book," is how he titled them. I tell you, I wouldn't mind having that title. People of the book, the true book, the Word of God. May the Lord help us be people of the book. Amen. That we are just not people of this following and this following and this whatever, but we follow the Word of God. But he said that his desire was to destroy the Bible, and then he would destroy the Christian. In fact, he erected a pillar, constructed a pillar that actually had this written on it: "The name of Christian is extinguished." That's what he wrote on there. But do you know, just a decade later, that would be replaced with the symbol of the cross. Constantine would come through and of course would institute that. But we see that the cross was put in there. And I found that very interesting. Also, Voltaire, the French atheist, he claimed this in his time. He said, 100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible in the earth except one that is looked upon by an antiquarian curiosity seeker." That's basically what he thought. And then there is even a word out there. I don't think it can be proven that even there was a Bible society that was built where he lived or claimed. And that could be possible, but I don't think there's full proof of that. But the very fact of the matter is he made that statement. He thought the Bible would be gone. It'd be history. It'd just be in a museum to be observed. But you know, from about maybe 20, 30 years after his death, from that point, in the early 1800s to 1992, there's approximately 6.1 billion Bibles printed. 6.1 billion Bibles. I think he was pretty off in his estimation about the Bible, don't you think? Why? Because it's God's Word. God has preserved His Word miraculously, supernaturally. And one has to recognize the fact that God's Word has been preserved. Now, they have the choice, of course, to accept that as miraculous or not. But boy, I tell you, it is pretty pretty amazing. The Guinness Book of World Records states that it was indeed the best-selling and most widely distributed book is indeed the Word of God. We see the indestructibility of the Bible. But another reason that was mentioned last week, I think Brother Dan Bachman mentioned it, that you as a Christian, and I as a Christian, this has to come up when talking about the validity of the Bible and the trustworthiness of the Bible. That point is fulfilled prophecy. If someone questions the Word of God, you as a Bible believer must bring up the point that the Bible states prophecy giving centuries beforehand and they have been fulfilled, especially around the life of Christ. Just to name a few, was his virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14, and then Matthew 1:20. His birthplace in Bethlehem, we read in Micah 5:2, and then also in Luke 2:4-7. We learn about the forerunner. Who was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus? John the Baptist. Isaiah prophesied of John the Baptist in Isaiah 40:3, a voice in the wilderness. And we see that come to pass in John 1:6-8, and then verses 19-23. Also, Jesus' triumphal entry, Zechariah 9:9-10, John 12:12-19. And we could go through many more tonight. But I didn't bring the book with me. I thought I had it with me, but I was going to recommend it to you. It's written by John Walford, and he's now in heaven. But he wrote a book on prophecies in the Bible, and it's probably about that thick. But it's well written. It does have larger print. Amen, Miss Kathy. We like those larger prints, don't we? But it is larger print, and it is really good. He's talking about prophecies, of course, that are still yet to be filled, but fulfilled. Excuse me. But he also talks about those ones that have been fulfilled, and so it's an encouragement. For us to reflect upon that, and a lot of times, someone that is serious about wanting to know whether the Bible is true, you start sharing those things with them. I'm telling you, it's going to make an impact. And as believers, I want to just encourage you, if you don't already, even in that Bible that was given to you, you could go through that your New Testament, and you could go through with a certain color highlighter or just even with a pencil if you're more comfortable with that, and just mark the fulfilled prophecies right there in the New Testament. And you could easily just say, listen, this was prophesied in the Old Testament. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. This is something that we look to for sure, is the fulfilled prophecies. And that's just around the Messiah that I was mentioning. All right. We know in Daniel, he talks about rulers. He talks about kingdoms and things that have come to pass. So a lot of things there for us to dive in even further when it comes to talking about, is the Word of God reliable? But then I want to get a few of you to read some scripture if you can. Could I get someone to read Hebrews 11:3? Can somebody take that? All right. Joe? Then can someone take Psalm 135:7? Miss Kathy? What about Isaiah 40:22? All right. So Annalisa, you take that one. That's Isaiah 40:22. And then somebody take Job 26:7. Can someone take Job? All right, Christian. And then maybe one more here. Psalm 103:14. Psalm 103:14. All right, Shaughnessy. That'd be great. So this next point is, why can we rely on the Bible? Because of this. It is scientifically accurate. It is scientifically accurate. Now, this is not necessarily a science textbook, but the truth of the matter is, we find science first in the Word of God. That's where we see, because of what God and His creation, it just all points to our Creator. And that first one is, God created the universe ex nihilo, which is out of nothing. God created the universe out of nothing, which even we know, the evolutionists will say that, well, it came from something. Well, it really wasn't nothing, but maybe it was something. And they try to point towards that. But what does the Bible say about that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3? That's right. It was made by the hands of God, which we do not see, but it came. God created the universe out of nothing. God himself did. And then we see truth of even this scientific fact here. Moisture in the atmosphere goes through a cycle of evaporation and condensation, which is very interesting. Psalm 135, verse 7. And then also we see that the earth is spherical in shape. Someone read Isaiah 40, verse 22. Had that one. Yes. Thank you, Annalisa. It just states the circle of the earth. And that the Word of God declares that when there were many for a time that believed the earth was flat, but God's Word declared many, many centuries ago, and even Job being one of the oldest books of the Bible, we know that it is indeed stated clearly from God himself. That then we also, excuse me, in Isaiah, but the next one is from Job. That one's from the prophet Isaiah. But this next one, this scientific fact that we find is that the earth is suspended in space. That was Job 26, verse 7. The earth is suspended in space. Who had that one? Yeah, Christian. He hangeth the earth upon nothing. And we see that as well. And then this one is I always find comical because we can joke about it, but yet be serious about it at the same time. This scientific fact that the chemical composition of man and the earth is identical. The composition, the chemical composition of man and the earth is identical. Somebody read Psalm 103, verse 14. We are but dust. You know, no matter what kind of degree you have, you're just a doctor. That's a big ball of dust. That's what you are. Just balls of dirt is really what we are. Just a big ball of dirt. So please, if you think you're getting pretty high-minded and you're achieving great things, and maybe you're struggling with pride, just remind yourself that you're a walking ball of dirt. Okay. So anyway, that's something to be reminded of. But anyway, we see that there are scientific facts, and we could go through more that point towards the Bible declaring these things. And so again, that's encouraging. I think of this neat illustration here. Matthew Maury, he was a U.S. Naval officer. One day was reading in his Bible. He spent around the Civil War era, he spent many, many years out on the ocean, just navigating, trying to explore and discover. And he read in his Bible one night in Psalm 8, verse 8, the paths of the sea. And upon reading that, he would go on to find that the Bible had declared thousands of years earlier was true, when he learned more that the ocean currents travel specific paths. That's pretty amazing. Because it does. Being in the Coast Guard, well, we find all kinds of currents out in the Caribbean. Different jet streams and whatnot affect the water so differently. But there are seriously pathways that seamen are finding often. And as they're out navigating the ocean's waters, the paths that are there. Well, that was declared in the Word of God by God himself. It's truly amazing. But also, we can depend on the Bible because simply it's inerrant. It's without error. Now, this is where you will get people that will challenge you, and maybe some of you can give some examples of some challenging scriptures that you've had that people have brought up to you to work through. But most of the time, now I'm just going to say most of the time, I don't want to generalize too much here, but most of the time, when you are talking to someone and they make that statement, the Bible, there's errors in the Bible, there's contradictions in the Bible. Well, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, if you ask politely, would you would you show me? I haven't found one yet, but would you show me in the Bible? Most of the time, they don't know. They'll say, well, that's what I've heard. Well, are you going to base just off what you heard? Are you going to research it yourself? And so you do challenge them with that. But then when they do point out something in Scripture, again, most of the time what they have found is that it has been taken out of context. They'll take one verse one place and one verse another, and it has been taken out of context, okay? And there's one that I cannot recall exactly what the reference is, but the Bible declares that we were made upright. And then the other one in Psalms, I believe, when David was talking about a sinful time in his life, that he was made in sin. But the contexts were differently. The one that was talking about making upright was referring to Adam and Eve. When they were created, they were created good. They were created upright. That's the way God originally intended in His creation. But sin, of course, brought iniquity, brought the sin into our lives. There's no contradiction there. And there are others that you'll find and that people see. But most of the time, it's somebody that's just taking one verse out of context and another, and it just needs to be clarified. But the truth is, Christians, we just need to be ready to be able to talk about those things. And we have before, and we don't have time to go through all the examples, but maybe you have something that you have run into as a just a personal testimony. Is there anybody here that there's a passage that's been challenging to you to explain, or perhaps one that you hear often that take you to a scripture where there's a contradiction? Or maybe Brother Christian, right? And you know, and a lot of times that comes back to different writers as well. It can be. Even like when you have some of the apostles that in the Gospels, there's some things that seem like they're maybe contradictory, you know, but honestly, they're just written a little differently. That it's not a reflection upon a contradiction that God's Word is wrong, but the fact of the matter is, that is true. Yeah, you will run into numbers. In fact, just recently, I think we were in, slipping my mind now, I think we were in 2 Samuel, where there was two different accounts, or maybe it was Chronicles and Samuel, looking through those. But again, that's where you can have the opportunity to sit down with someone and study that passage together. Look at it together. Talk about it together. And not to be afraid and to shun it, you know. And let me give you a resource here on contradictions in the Bible. Answers in Genesis. Ken Ham and his crew, they do an excellent job of helping people understand, especially some of the critics that come towards the Word of God and some of their thought process. And they're very gracious, by the way, too. They don't pick on unbelievers. They don't insult them. But he does come out in a way that say, this is what they're saying, but this is what the Bible is teaching. So just remember that. If you ever have someone that's inquiring about the Bible or objecting to the gospel, that is one resource to keep in mind, Answers in Genesis, and a source that can be helpful. Anybody else have a thought there or a comment, maybe something that you have often shared with people to help them or encourage them when it comes to the Word of God and being reliable? And I'll tell you another thing too, and we'll maybe have a few comments here, but after you look at several of these avenues, one has to come to the realization that, all right, yes, we look at some evidences there, some things that the human mind can wrap around, but when it comes right down to it, and people can call it cop out if they want to, but when it comes right down to it, it is a step of faith. It is me taking God at His Word, that my Creator, who is the designer and the creator of the universe and my very soul and my very life, He has given me a book. He's given me a message, and that message talks about and points man to His Son, Jesus Christ. That is God's book, and God declares His authorship in the Word of God so many times, just in the Old Testament, just in the Old Testament, the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord," is used over 3,800 times. Thus saith the Lord. Over 3,800 times, the Lord, "Thus saith the Lord." And God has declared it to be His Word. And we really need to be, and of course, you know, there's no way I could cover everything tonight. Y'all know that. But there are other things that to bring out in Scripture. Is there anything that comes to mind immediately tonight that you have found to be helpful when talking about the Word of God? Ms. Kathy? Amen. Yep. God's Word will always come to pass. What He says, what He declares, it's there. And, you know, it's like we've said before, and you want to be, again, reasonable and gracious when speaking to an unbeliever that's doubting or questioning or even, you know, inquiring. You want to be gracious, but the fact of the matter is, there's just got to be a true step of faith, childlike faith, that you're going to accept this as God's book to you, because He loves you. He absolutely loves you with an eternal love. He knows you're a sinner, and He knows there's nothing you can do about it, so He's given us a solution. And there's no other book in the world that gives that. I've seen the Quran. I've read portions of the Quran and these other religious books. They may have some things that are good that they teach, but when it comes down to a book that is consistent, to a book that's accurate, to a book that just proclaims the love of an almighty Creator, that it does not exist outside of this book. And I tell you, it's a book that is desiring to be declared and lived out by us. And you know, I like to bring things down to a practical level as well. And this is where I'll close tonight. But you know, church, really, too, when it comes to sharing this book, before really anybody wants to listen to us share the book, they want us to see us live the book. Okay? And does that mean we're perfect? Absolutely not. But we do live a life that shows a reverence and a desire to follow what God has told us to do in His Word. And it's only done by His Spirit through us when we yield to Him. But I hope in the coming days that as our church seeks to make Jesus known more and more, we will understand the importance of sharing His Word. Sharing the gospel. And when someone questions it, we don't get offended. We take the time to talk about these avenues in that. But anything else before we transition to prayer, Brother Christian? Right. Yes. It truly is. That's right. And the Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about that it is living. It's alive. And when you read it, and you read it or listen to it, it's alive and it works. And it'll work on the heart. Yes, Brother Bill. Amen. We're thankful for the book tonight, and tonight, just talking about the Bible, I'd like for us in our prayer time, let's pray that for those people groups around this earth that God has created that have yet to receive a Bible. Let's pray for them, church. Let's let that affect us tonight, that there are people around this earth, as many Bibles as they have been printed and distributed, there are still people groups without the Word of God. And so we want to make it known, and believe it or not, we got people right here in Jackson County, right here in South Jackson, that do not truly know what the Word of God declares about salvation. And we want the Lord to have His will and way there as well.